And now, it's time to sit back and enjoy the Two True Freaks Internet Radio Broadcast.
...2008. The prequel trilogy is over, and millions of fans are left without Star Wars. Enter a brave group of Jedi, led by Dave Filoni, who brought tales of the Jedi, clone armies, and Mandalorians to Cartoon Network, thus keeping hope alive in the galaxy. Welcome to J-Guys and Jedi!
Hi everyone, welcome to a brand new episode of J-Guys and Jedi, a weekly podcast covering every episode of Star Wars The Clone Wars. In this episode, Ahsoka disobeys Anakin's orders and loses most of her squadron, prompting Anakin to help give his Padawan a lesson in respect for authority. They'll be failed Padawans! What naps? And Anakin sits back and watches the show. We're talking about Storm of Ryloth this week. How you doing, Chris?
Good. I'm getting my Irish breakfast tea in. Settling in real well.
I know. I just finished making like eggs for lunch and drinking my coffee, so I'm good. I'm a happy eggy camper, except for I put the tomatoes in too early, so I made them really watery, so they didn't cook really well.
It's pretty exciting. My roommate loves honey, and there's a lot of local honey places around here, mm-hmm. and so there's always different kinds of honey hanging around, but you know, I grab whatever's out there and dump it into my tea, and this one was from somebody who had bees in Theresa, New York, which was where my dad was living, and so it's sort of my home turf, so I'm actually drinking the byproducts of plants from around where my dad used to live.
That's really cool. I thought you were about to say you were drinking up your dad.
No. Yeah, I've been mixing his ashes slowly into my drinks to consume him and take upon his knowledge.
There can only be one.
It's a Honeywell tradition. We all eat the dead, consume the dead. No waste.
Oh, man. So did you have a good week, Chris?
Yeah.
I had a fantastic week, too. I went to 221 BCon over the weekend.
Ooh, I saw pictures on Facebook.
Yeah, I haven't put up my pictures from my camera yet, but I went to 221 BCon, which is a Sherlock Holmes convention here in Atlanta, and I just bought a bunch of Star Wars shit.
I saw you wrestling some giant creature.
It was an inflatable elephant.
That's what it was. Yeah, you were right at the old poop chute there.
I've been drinking, and I jumped on the back of it, and it fell over, and I just kind of slid down its butt, and so then I just started texting while laying on its butt.
Yeah, and that's when the pictures started happening, I see.
Yeah, my friend Billy got it, yep. But I got a cool, like, Star Wars dice bag from my friend Amanda, who actually has an Etsy shop. Oh, I should put that in our notes. But yeah, she makes, like, Star Wars dice bags, and then I got a really nice print from Interjax. On Twitter, and it's of Padme, Leia, and Rey. Oh, it's beautiful, and she said she's going to be doing another one soon, and it's going to be Anakin, Luke, and Kylo. So that would be cool. I'm looking forward to that one. And then I got like a BB-8 button. I got some Finn, Rey, and Poe stickers for my long boxes. I got dinosaur earrings.
Ooh.
So yeah, I went to a Sherlock Holmes convention and just bought like a shit ton of Star Wars stuff. So,
merch is merch.
It is merch, and that's, I was on the How to Podcast panel, and I pimped us out a lot, so.
Excellent.
I know, I talked all about us, so, it was fun. Okay. It was great, because it was all ladies on a podcast, so it was nice hearing about all these different ladies podcasting and stuff like that, because, I don't know, I guess I sometimes feel like podcasts are predominantly male, so. Also, Chris, I got the Poe Dameron comic last night.
Oh, see, I didn't even know that was happening.
Yeah, it's going to be another miniseries, and it takes place before Force Awakens, and it's actually about, like, you know the old man at the beginning of Force Awakens, yeah. That Poe finds?
Yeah, the really interesting potential character.
Yeah, that got killed off. Mm-hmm. It's about Poe trying to find that character.
Oh, okay.
And so what I really liked about it is you can hear Oscar Isaac's voice. Like, they really captured how Poe talks. Which was, like, really nice. The only thing is, like, pretty much every speech bubble, he's talking to BB-8. He says BB-8's name. So he's like, BB-8, calm down. BB-8, do this.
He sort of did that in the movie, though, too. I just watched it again yesterday. He sort of did that a lot in the movie.
Yeah.
So that might just be one of his things. Maybe he has a thing with names where he likes to call people by their names. That was the whole sort of first thing he had with Finn.
Yeah.
Establishing a name, and he calls everybody buddy, because when they're reunited, he goes, BB-8, my little buddy, and then he runs up to Finn, he goes, buddy. So he's a
there is a nice part where he finds like this kind of high priestess one, and he calls her darling.
I'm
like, hey, darling.
His character is so strong that it's great that we actually know his, you know, the way he speaks his dialogue just from the little bit that he was in the movie.
Two cool things about it, though. Did you read Shattered Empire, which was about Poe's parents?
Yes.
There's a character named, I think, Luo or Lulo. He's the same race that Cad Bane is, like that kind of blue guy.
Yeah.
He's in this one, too, and he's older, and he's kind of like, I don't want to say he's Finn's mentor, because, like, Finn's the head of their squadron, but, like, he calls him son, and so it's nice that they carried that on over from Shattered Empire. Mm-hmm. And at the very end, there's, like, a little mini comic, and they got the artist of Calvin and Hobbes to do, like, a little mini strip. And it's like BB-8 connecting people through love.
Oh, jeez.
It's really cute. I was just like, yes, this is adorable.
I've been trying to get all the Star Wars Marvel comics because I want all the Marvel Star Wars comics.
I'm so sad that Kanan ended. Like, that was just
that
such
was my favorite of all of them, with probably Darth Vader being the second favorite, despite all its weirdness. You see, I stopped reading them a while ago, and I've been letting them pile up so that I can just sit down and spend a couple hours catching up on, you know, on the main Star Wars one, on the Darth, because there's a whole Darth Vader down story, and then I can read all that.
Yeah.
But I did read the first two issues of the Anakin and Obi-Wan, which the story was really good. I don't like the art.
I love it. I think it's fantastic. That's. I wish it was selling better, because I really liked that one. But the current arc of Vader, I'm not really digging, only just because of the fact that, like, you have to read the Vader annual to get the arc, because it all was set up the Vader annual.
Right.
And I rarely read annuals because they're, like, you know, not great.
I've got it. I haven't read it yet. But
so definitely
I love annuals. I've always loved annuals.
I don't know. They're not my jazz, but I mean, like, the annual, it sets up the current arc, so, but, and then I really like the art of Obi-Wan and Anakin. I like it that it's kind of like this, like, different kind of gritty style, so.
It is, but just the composition of it and the coloring of it makes it a kind of, to me, just, like, visually a formless brown and muddy mess.
See, I like it because the color, like, it's so, like
it's muted,
and it kind of brings up, like, it sets the tone of it, like the color
and
kind of, like, splattered on there is like the tone of the comic. And so when it's cleaner in certain scenes, that means, like, they have their head about them, and, like, it's a nice cleaner scene. But then you have a battle, and it's, like, literally just paint thrown on the page, and it's awesome.
I would disagree. I see what they're going for.
Yeah.
But it just becomes a formless mess. Your eye doesn't. There's a way to do that, and still, when you look at a comic page, you know, or any piece of artwork that someone's presenting to you, you know, there's sort of that pattern that, you know, and you can map it right out in, you know, if you want to, what is it, the golden mean, if you wanted to be classical about it, but there's sort of, the artist comes up with, okay, this is where I want their eye to hit first, and that'll lead it to this, and this, and this, and with that, it's just sort of, the stuff is sort of there and happening, and then any coherence of the art gets taken away by the sort of watercolory color, you know, digital coloring over it. I'm also a grump about the digital coloring, so but the story for it is very strong. I thought it was
Palpatine is such a creep.
I know, it's almost like a child molester story.
I know. Oh my god.
This potential victim and stuff. It's pretty, but then again, the Palpatine story is sort of like that. So it is, it's very creepy. And yeah, and Palpatine gets his hooks in there early, and you know, he's on it. But in episode one, he kind of established that too. So
yeah. We should talk about Storm Over Ryloth. Mm. But I just wanted to share the Poe Dameron comic with you. It was very good.
And you'll be happy to know you'll be happy to know.
I was going to say, in previews, they announced a Han Solo miniseries.
That'll be fun, too.
Yeah. What were you saying?
You'll be happy to know I'm working on catching up on my Rebels.
Yay, where are you?
Oh, I just saw the one with what's his name? Where he's stranded on the moon of Geonosis with the Imperial Commander.
Wow, you're really catching up then.
They're bonding.
You're really catching up.
I'm working on. Oh, I have not clicked play on any of those trailers or any of your conversations about the season finale. I know there's people who are hating heavily on the season finale.
I loved it so much.
Well, they're not hating on the Darth Vader part. That's the part I'm interested in. They're hating on there was some lightsaber scandal.
The Inquisitors, since their blades turn, they can like jump in the air and spin them and like hover.
Yeah, so yeah, the helicopter. So there's people who are just like done with that. But I'm in for James Earl Jones, Darth Vader. And then I read the one line, you know, where he said something like, "Then you know you'll die with more honor than most," or something. And I'm just like, oh God, I gotta get to that.
Oh man, so you watched Legend of Lasath then, where they found Zeb's people?
Yes.
Was that music not fucking amazing?
The music has been progressively getting better and better and less of greatest hits of Star Wars themes to more of its own thing. But
because that was the one I sent to you and you were just like, wow. Mm-hmm. And then they
still incorporate the Star Wars themes in them, but they're doing variations on them and mixing them with their own themes, and it's developing its own little musical language.
The one that you're on now, The Honorable Ones with Zeb and Kallus, that's actually probably my favorite episode of the season.
Oh, wow.
That's because, like, I really like Kallus's character, and I love Kallus since, like, day one. Yes, Kallus, he sucks at life. I love him.
I like that they introduced that he's, you know, they're humanizing him, and that they're giving him a little bit of doubt about the Empire.
Yeah, and that was my favorite part because, like, you know, one gripe I do have about the show is that, like, the Rebels are always winning, and so I like the fact to, like, see that, like, the Empire is actually, like, this cold machine that really doesn't give two fucks about Kallus because there's always 12 people to replace him.
Right.
And so, like, I really, really love that, especially since there's a Rebels comic where Kallus turns in his best friend who turns traitor against the Empire, and he's just like, "Welp, you were my best friend, you're going to jail." And so, like, it kind of brings up that a little bit, that, like, there's actually, the Empire's not what he thought it was, and
he comes limping in, and they're just like, everybody just walks by him. Whatever.
I know. I actually really want to see, like, Kallus leave the Empire and join the Rebels. Like, I would just love that. But to be, like, all snooty, be like, "We shouldn't fly there. Don't fly over there. No."
He's only, like, one or two betrayals by the Empire away from it, maybe.
Yeah, so I'm just, like, very, very ready for that.
He's honor-based, too, that he really strongly, like, respects honor. So
I know.
So the seed's been planted in him, I think.
And if it wasn't, like, while it's not, like, the best-written episode, because Good Lord, Twilight of the Apprentice and Lost Commanders and Relics of the Old Republic are other favorites of mine, that was probably just, like, a personal favorite. I watched it, like, 12 times.
Wow.
So
yeah, and I'm hoping in the next few nights when I eat dinner, I'm going to watch a episode of Rebels every night until I get caught up.
Send me updates about what you think of episodes, because there's certain episodes, like, I really like, and there's certain episodes I really hated.
I just want to get to the drama. The drama!
Yeah, the drama. So, because, oh man, I can't wait to talk Rebels with you. Anyway, Storm Over Ryloth! Now that we're like 30 minutes in.
That's how we do it here.
Yeah. So, ready? All right. Storm Over Ryloth was the 19th episode of Star Wars The Clone Wars and aired on February 27th, 2009. It was directed by Brian Callan O'Connell and written by our good buddy George Christic. Some extra information about the episode. The scope device on Captain Toke's data goggles was partially inspired by the mechanical monocle worn by Codan Fleet officer in The Last Starship.
Yay!
Originally, did you say yay?
Yay, I just found that somebody recreated the video game from the movie Last Starfighter and put a free download of it. I put it up on the Two True Freaks podcast. You could go put it on your PC and play the actual game that the kid played in The Last Starfighter.
Oh, that's cool.
It's pretty awesome, yeah.
And then originally, Tuck was supposed to die aboard the ship, but he was deemed interesting enough to be spared. Watt Tambor in the Battle Droids are voiced by Matthew Wood in this episode. He was also the supervising sound editor for The Force Awakens, which he received an Oscar nomination for.
Yeah, no Ben Burtt this time. Very strange.
Yeah. So, as always with Two True Freaks, we say the moral of the episode in a sexy Yoda voice instead. So take it away, Yoda, Chris.
Oh, it is a rough road that leads to the height of greatness. In bed.
Yeah.
Oh yes. Road is rough.
Rough.
Rocky.
Thank you, Mistress. Give me another. Oh, okay. We should move on. We're getting into dark, dark Yoda territory now.
Yes.
All right.
She highway.
What?
Never mind.
I really didn't hear you. I was taking a drink.
Yoda says nothing.
I guess I'll hear it when you put up this episode. And then I'm just going to be like 7 weeks from now, I'm just be like, Chris, I can't believe you said that.
I don't know. It might be an older term. You might have to Google Hershey Highway.
I have implications of what probably means.
It's a rough road.
So, act one. Let's move away from that. So, all right. Act one. Ryloth has been invaded by separatists who have set up a blockade. The Twi'lek Pit people are starving under the rule of Watt Tambor. The Senate leaps into action, sending Anakin and Ahsoka to clear the blockade for Obi-Wan and Wet Blanket Windu's battalions to move in. Ahsoka is getting ready to command her first squadron. Anakin tells her that all the men depend on her with their lives, so no biggie and don't be nervous. But Anakin believes it in her and sends her out. They rush the blockade and the Separatists sends out their vulture droids. Everything seems to be going well for Ahsoka's squadron. She sends in the second wave of her fleet led by clone Captain Axe. Mar Tuck, the Nemoidian captain on the Separatist side, brings in his reinforcements of 4 more battle cruisers. Admiral Yularen orders Ahsoka back to the ship, but she believes that she can make it through. What she can't see is that she's completely surrounded. Her men are dying as the cruisers are taking massive damages. Yularen is hurt in the fray. Then Axe is killed in the battle, and she's lost most of her men in the fight as the cruisers jump into light speed and escape. The Republic cruisers. I actually just didn't. What do you think about Act 1, Chris?
I liked it. You could tell this is like a setup for a big story arc. And it's like, okay, we're going to have the first part in space and they're saving Wet Blanket Windu and Obi-Wan for another story arc. They're not going to be in this one. They sure double down on the whole Nemoidian with the Asian accent. They don't back off that at all. And that looks like another Goldie that Ahsoka has.
But not quite as shiny and more pastel and friendly.
I was like, is this another one of those episodes where the timing is weird and stuff and this is just like early Goldie when they first embedded him or something? But
yeah, I actually forgot about that this episode existed because I thought we were about to do Innocence of Ryloth. So I was like, yeah, I'm going to get to see Waxer and Boyle and Numa. And then I was really disappointed. But then I remembered that this was a really good Ahsoka episode and I was really happy again.
Yeah, this is a sort of touches on the you know, the consequences of leadership, which is you're going to get people killed. And it's like also the first time that her Anakin-like training has backfired a little bit on her, you know.
And, yeah.
And it's, you know, meant people die. So that's a lot to put on like a 12-year-old kid, 14-year-old kid. Yeah. I work with a 14-year-old kid. You know, my boss's daughter works the front end, and it's just like, you know, to think of her like leading troops into battle. Yeah, it's like a little kid. You know.
Yeah, I actually really love episodes like this where Ahsoka eats all the humble pie. I mean, because, like, that's why I connected with Ahsoka in the first place. Because, like, Clone Wars was running when I was in college, and I was like, I don't know what I'm doing with my life, and I'm switching majors, I'm spending money, and I don't know what to do. And so, like, it was really nice to have this Star Wars character that I could really associate with that was kind of, like, learning and growing and failing like I was.
And she's getting a taste of the consequences of being Anakin. I mean, he actually says, you know, now you know what it's like to be me.
Yeah, and so, like, especially, like, since, like, all the Jedi are always kind of, like, in these godlike positions, like, saving the day at the last moment. So, like, I don't know. I like that we're actually seeing a character that is really flawed, and she makes mistakes, and she messed up, and she was completely ashamed of herself and struggled with that. And it makes her so relatable to a viewer. While Obi-Wan and Anakin are sometimes, you know, there's, like, bet flipping and parkouring and, like, saving thousands of people. Like, Ahsoka's actually struggling, and I really like this episode.
They make it look so easy.
They really do. What? You can't save 1,200 people in a single lightsaber blow? What's wrong with you, Ahsoka?
Get on that.
I will say, like, I always forget that Tom Kane, who voices Yularen, is also the narrator. So whenever Yularen talks, I'm waiting for him to, like, turn to the camera and go, "Tragedy on Ryloth!
That
our
happened
heroes to are coming out of hyperspace! There is a blockade! And Anakin is running out to his ship!"
Even when he's doing a character, it's still got a little bit of announcer in it. It's pretty funny. I totally notice that. Well, you know, I feel bad for all the troopers we lost. We lost Otter, Goiter, Winebox.
Glow Stick.
Body Spray.
Body Spray.
That's a bad name to have when you're a clone trooper, but...
X.
Yeah, exactly.
Teenage Perfume Spray.
Yeah,
14-year-old puberty spray.
Oh, I know grown men who slather that stuff on.
Oh, God.
Yep.
If you are over, like, 25, please actually invest in cologne, because you're actually quite disgusting when you slather yourself in Axe.
If women you're under 20... I see a lot of the older people I use are smokers, so they'll be at work, and they'll go and have a cigarette, and then they don't like the cigarette smell on them, so they cover it up with body spray. And
That's just as bad.
The female, and this isn't at my job currently, but this was at a job at a bar, and there was a girl there that she had this. It was a female version of body spray, I guess, but it basically smelled like all the weird, like, perfume sprays that my sister used to get when she was a little, you know, like the little kid.
Yeah.
Like candy-like stuff.
Because, like, I do that too, and so, like, I'll come back from smoking stuff, and I'll put on body spray as well. But at least invest in some, like, really nice body spray that, like, doesn't smell like a 12-year-old.
These guys spray it top to bottom like they're coating their body with Off to keep the mosquitoes off. It's amazing.
Ugh, ugh.
Anyway, I'll miss old body spray.
Yeah. You lived well, Axe. Go in your next life. Help 14-year-old boys get laid. Get girls, not laid. Laid. 14's way too young to get laid. Don't do that. Use protection. Don't have sex, kids.
All these clones are underage. They can't have nothing.
They don't get any bountiful mail. So, did you have anything else from Act 1? It was kind of a short act.
No, that's about it. Yeah, I know. It was over, like, before. This is another one with, like, a big middle act.
Yeah, but I like it. So, ready?
Yes, ma'am.
Act 2! Anakin whips out his dad voice and says that he's very disappointed in Ahsoka. She points out that Anakin doesn't always follow orders, but unlike him, she failed. That's the reality of command, Snips. Your men sometimes die at your commands. Holoskyping Obi-Wan in Wet Blanket Windu, Anakin reports the numbers of their losses. Obi-Wan says to give Ahsoka some time, but make sure she's on her feet soon. Wet Blanket Windu don't got time for this emotional bullshit. Get that blockade broken now and do it. Ahsoka sits at Admiral Yularen's bedside, but is called to the hangar by Anakin. She lies that she's fine, which Anakin says is great. He'll need her for the next fight. She's stunned that he wants her to go back out there. They have to make do with the forces that they have. It will be fine. No, she says, that's what you said to me last time, and now everyone is gone, my whole squadron. They're interrupted by it when Anakin gets a call from Rex. He sends Ahsoka back to her quarters to cool off. A bit later, the alarms are sounding on the Republic command ship. A clone trooper tells Ahsoka that the cruiser is being evacuated. In the hangar, Anakin got his idea from Ahsoka. His first attempt was clearly too risky for the men, so he's emptying out one cruiser and plans to pilot it right into the Separatist ship. When he hops into his escape pod at the last minute, he'll be defenseless. It will be up to Ahsoka to keep the enemy off him and retrieve him. But Ahsoka doesn't feel ready. She doesn't want that responsibility. Anakin thrusts her into it by calling over all the men and telling them that she's in charge. Now she has no choice but to lead them. She's uncertain as she heads up to the bridge, but luckily she has Rex there to help move things along. Ahsoka catches up to speed Rex and a clone navigation officer, who I'm going to call Wetnap, since he is almost as cheery as Mace Windu. Wetnap and Rex are weary about the plan, because they usually have a Skywalker there, and Skywalker leads in the battle. How will they do this without a Skywalker? Wetnap accidentally blurts this out, and then apologizes to Ahsoka that he meant no offense. Ahsoka still isn't ready for this plan.
She isn't ready, but that's all. She has no choice.
Yeah, I kind of don't like that moment. Like, I know why Anakin did it, but I was just like, because, like, it's wartime, he needs her to get in the action, but at the same time, I was just like, oh, dick move.
She was doing the PTSD, though. She was doing the, or falling off the bicycle thing, where it's like she started to doubt herself, and he was not going to give her time to sit and think about it, because you're in battle. That's what's going to happen. You're going to have to muse over that, you know, before you go to bed at night or whatever. So he just forced her into the situation where she had to deal with it. And, you know, you can see her realize, I have to take command right here. I can't let these guys, you know, these guys are, Anakin's already started his plan. The other two are like starting to kind of subvert it and go like, ah, maybe this isn't such a good plan. Well, it's too late. It's already going on, you know? And
yeah. Like, maybe I feel like Rex, like, the moment Anakin's out of the room, Rex is like, I don't like this plan, guys.
Yeah, oh, no, definitely. Definitely. I've been in planning, you know, groups and stuff where you see this sort of thing happen all the time. Somebody leaves the room and they're just like, all right. I don't know about this. Blah, 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 blah.
So, I like that it's coming from Rex, though. I mean, like, you know, like, he's supposed to be a clone. He's supposed to be following orders. Like, no questions asked. And the moment Anakin leaves, he's like, this is a terrible plan.
At the same time, yeah, he's still trying to, you know, yeah.
He's trying to find the right way to do this plan, to get the least amount of casualties.
Yeah, well, Anakin's allowing nobody any time to do anything but just, like, pull it off, which is a effective strategy.
Yeah, but, sorry, I wrote my notes like 2 days ago. I'm just like, what did I write? Okay, so
is that really Sam Jackson's voice? It sounds
No. The only time I think Samuel L. Jackson voiced for Clone Wars was for the movie.
Okay, because the guy, especially the opening line of his, sounds pretty. It's a really good Sam Jackson impression.
Yeah,
it's got all that hostility in it. You know,
I didn't write it, but I like how Obi-Wan was like warm and like fatherly, and like Windu was just like, we don't got time for this bullshit.
Oh, they make his face look even crabbier than Samuel Jackson's real face. They make his nose kind of knobby, and he just looks grumpy.
I know, I was waiting for him to just be like, stop. No, and Obi-Wan's like, but guys, Ahsoka needs like tea and a shock blanket. Look, she's in shock. Daddy Obi-Wan with his babies. I love Daddy Obi-Wan. So in the Clone Wars, they're in such desperate need for Jedi commanders that the Padawans were, like, thrust into all these command positions, I feel like, way too early. But I like that Obi-Wan and Anakin can see and understand why Ahsoka is upset. And I wish we actually got more of clone point of views about Padawans being their commanders. I know I said that a few episodes back. But I also kind of, like, feel like, you know, what does Obi-Wan and Anakin feel about Padawans being put in these positions, you know?
Anakin's probably more, I mean, Anakin, that was sort of him.
Yeah, you know? He was made a knight too soon, but they needed him.
Well, I mean, when he was a little kid and they got him, you know, he was already having adventures. And I imagine a lot of the other little kid Jedi were training, you know, they weren't going sending out on mission. Anakin was a mission, so he was, like, in the middle of fighting Sith and, you know, blowing up, you know, Republic ships or Federation or whatever. The, you know, he was flying around and shooting things when he was a little kid. So
and he was made a knight like right at the end of episode 2, and he was just right. As young. Like it was
episode 2, he was a little old, you know, he was more like 17, 18 in episode 2, but
yeah.
But still not a lot older than Ahsoka. And I mean, episode 2, they're talking about their adventures, so he'd been out having adventures with Obi-Wan,
as we see in the Obi-Wan and Anakin comic.
Yes. Yeah, so he could probably relate to, Ahsoka a lot more, but at the same time, he's also used to being, you know, being thrust into war at a young age is just life is business as usual for him.
Yeah. I would like to actually, I listened to, you put up Lair of Grievous last night, and we talked about Nadar being kind of in the same position, like that was possibly his first mission out, and he was kind of a Padawan that probably got passed around because of the war, because they needed Kit Fisto to go out and fight, so he didn't finish his training with his master. So, I mean, like, we're seeing a bunch of, like, Padawans just kind of, like, thrust into this. And we saw it in the Kanan comics, too, man. Like, Caleb barely made the cut and then went out on his first mission and almost died, like, 12 times. And then, like, a few missions later, he lost his master for Order 66. I mean, and look where Kanan is now. Like, he's not a traditional Jedi. So, I mean, like, and neither was Ahsoka. Like, Ahsoka and Rebels, like, you know, is not traditional in any way, shape, or form. I'm trying to, like, I know you haven't seen Season 5, so I'm trying to, like, tiptoe around this. Of like why she is the way she is in Rebels. Oh, I want to
catch up with all of it someday soon.
I know. I'm wondering if like what do you think about that? As like someone who hasn't seen season 5, like what do you think Ahsoka is? I won't confirm or deny it, but I'm just curious.
What do you mean? What do I think she is?
Because she says that she's no Jedi, unless she is, you know, she says it like in an early episode too that she's not really a Jedi anymore, and that's why she like lets Kanan do Jedi business.
Well, I don't know, you know, I mean, isn't there an official, I mean, was there, in Clone Wars, did she ever go from being a Padawan to a Jedi, or?
Do you want me to tell you?
Sure.
Okay, so at the last arc of Season 5, I won't tell you why and how it happens, but Ahsoka chooses to leave the Jedi Order.
Okay. So she
willingly walks away from the Order.
But she hadn't taken her Jedi test and all that yet.
No,
so,
she was still a Padawan.
Yeah, so she never was a Jedi technically.
But there is a thing that happened, and so she took off her Padawan beads, gave them to Anakin, and left the Order, and she was like, I'm done. So it was a good arc. Oh,
interesting.
It was the final arc that aired on television, because they later put season 6 on Netflix, so it was the final arc of Clone Wars on television. It was so good. And it was, I'm having feelings. But yeah, so I mean, like, all these Padawans are being just, like, thrust into this, like, position of power and stuff like that, and none of them are ready. I'm actually surprised there's not more dead Padawans around.
Yeah, well, that Mon Calamari kid didn't last long.
No, he did not.
He's kind of a jerk.
So... one thing I really like this episode is that it is a slower episode. I mean, the last several ones have been, like, action-packed, like, all this stuff. We've had, like, Lermans and, like, all this action and stuff like that. So I really like this as, like, a slower, more emotional episode. And that we actually get to see kind of Ahsoka starting to get this kind of PTSD and, like, seeing her first loss as a commander. And it's also, like, for Anakin, like, he's learning how to be a teacher. And teaching is hard. It's hard to be Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Right.
So, like, Ahsoka, it's hard for her to be like Anakin, and for Anakin, it's hard for him to be like Obi-Wan. So I really like that we have this slower, emotional episode, because the next two episodes are, like, really action-packed. So I'm really glad that we have this.
Having her gives more consequences to Anakin's actions, so...
Yeah. I think Ahsoka is probably one of the best things they ever did for Anakin, was to give him this character.
Yeah. Yeah, for this series especially.
I know. And that was actually a choice of George Lucas to give Anakin a Padawan.
Some of the animation is kind of rough in this section. The scene where he's under the... is it he or... so one of them's fixing working on a ship.
It's Anakin.
Yeah, it's... like, that was some of the, like... it looked like they hadn't even finished maybe the CGI or something on that scene. Did you notice that they were very, like, puppety?
I didn't, but I was... writing fast as I was, like, trying right. to get through the scene, so. But, no, I didn't.
It was just weird, because the quality's been going up and up, and I was thinking, maybe they were hurrying up with that scene to work on some of the more complicated scenes.
Yeah, because, like, Ahsoka looks really nice when she's flying the ship, though.
Yeah.
She, like, they have really good emotion, especially, like, the point where, like, she, like, in fear, like, turns and, like, screams when Axe dies.
Well, that's
and,
the thing
like,
is...
she looks really conflicted.
In general, it's, like, really smooth and starting to get to where you don't even notice it. And it's more, like, say, Rebels now. But then there's a couple scenes where, you know, maybe they didn't have time to finish them, or they just didn't have the budget to, like... smooth them up a little bit. It was kind of, it was just kind of strange.
Yeah, there's always a scene that sticks out in my head about that, and it's a season two in The Deserter, where, you know, Rex is shot and has to be taken care of, like, by the Twi'lek family, and there's actually a clone there in that episode. There's a moment where Jesse takes off his helmet, and I'm just like, oh, God, Jesse, no! Because his face is just literally a square, and the fact that he's, like, bald and he has no hair, like, it's just a little square head. I was just like, oh, God, Jesse, no, no. Because he's so, like, charismatic in the Umbar arc, and he has, like, these, like, great faces, and he's just kind of like, ah, I'm just kind of fucking around, guys. And so you go back and you see that, and you're just like, But it's, like, right in the middle of season two, so, like, the animation's been progressing and getting better, and then you see that, and you're just like, I do like that I'm 99.9% positive that Anakin and Rex had an off-screen conversation about Ahsoka. Because like, when she's really struggling to accept all this leadership, like, Rex is right there to support her, and he's carrying out orders. And, like, while he is being kind of the voice of reason and, like, doubting Anakin's plan, I think a lot of it is also for Ahsoka's benefit. And it's the reason why I really love this trio. Like, I really love how this trio works together and their friendship, and they love each other, and I love them.
I've been suspecting that.
I love the three of them.
Piecing that together.
They're a little family. They're a little family of, I love them. The last note I have for this section is, I don't think we really needed any of the separatist scenes at all. That's why I didn't write them into the recap, because I don't feel like we needed them. It was all kind of filler, and I would rather have those, like, more screen time with Ahsoka. You know, like, maybe her talking with Rex about being a leader, because, you know, like, Rex is constantly losing his men all the time. Or talking to Anakin or the other clones, because, like, I do like the scene where Wet Nap blurts out that Ahsoka's pretty much doesn't have Anakin's leadership skills. So I would have actually liked more scenes with that. And I don't know, I didn't really see the need to have the separatist guy going, get me books on Anakin. Let's read about Anakin. Like, it wasn't needed. I'd rather have that dedicated to our heroes.
It had a little... the twist of it was he studied up on Anakin, but at the same time that he was studying up on Anakin, Anakin was adjusting his style to work with Ahsoka. So that was screwing up his, you know, the separatist guy's equation of how to deal of what... So he sort of knew what Anakin was going to do, but, you know, what Anakin was going to do got skewed by, you know, Anakin having to, you know, work with Ahsoka. So that was sort of his downfall, as he studied it, but he didn't have all the information that he needed to study. But yeah, it really wasn't needed for the story. I mean, I see why they let the guy live. He's a potentially interesting character. I guess maybe he's like the Nemodian Thrawn or something.
I don't know. I didn't find him interesting at all. Though I do like the point, we're not there yet, but in Act 3 when the droids were just like, who's in charge? And Ahsoka's just like, give them time, they're slow.
Yeah.
They'll get there. And then they're like, I guess I'm in charge, are you? Attack!
He's just like, he was just like, I'm sitting in the chair. But that was, we're getting ahead of ourselves.
Really, that was a nice moment with those, our favorite battle droids. So I don't have anything else for Act 2, do you?
I'm ready to wrap this thing up, to get to the money shots.
The money shots. Okay.
Big blowy uppies is coming.
So, Anakin brings the damaged cruiser out of hyperspace, pointing it right at the enemy. He holo Skypes Martok and says Anakin's been ordered to give himself, the ship, and his crew over in exchange for food and supplies to make it to the Twi'leks. Back on the other cruiser, Wetnap still doesn't know how they will survive the other enemy ships. Ahsoka maybe has an idea, but she's still so unsure about herself. But Rex encourages her to go on because they're BFFs forever, okay guys? They're going to be best friends forever, or at least until Star Wars Rebels. She proposes a risky plan to lure them in, to lure the enemy in, but Wetnap still doesn't like the plan. It's way too risky. It's not until Yularen kicks in the door saying that the plan is risky, but they gotta do it because this is war and you gotta take a chance on Ahsoka, so believe in her! Ahsoka has newfound confidence and goes for leading a squadron herself. Martok realizes there's no one on board the other cruiser other than Skywalker. Anakin grabs R2 and heads for the exit, and so does Martok. Ahsoka's plan is going exactly as she thought. As her squadron takes off the Separatist cruisers and rescues Anakin as he rams his ship into the main one. Obi-Wan and Windu arrive to get through the now broken blockade and head to Barloff for next week's episodes. The end.
I love this battle. This was a nice battle. I liked how you saw it from... You actually, for once, saw them doing their little hologram plan of it. And then saw it from the point of view of the pilots. We've seen it before, but they went into more detail of it. So we actually had a visual of it.
And then you have it from Anakin's point of view, too.
And then you had it from Anakin's point of view, and it was really nicely done. Seeing the, variations in reality of it, but still how they... It was nice. It was a nice little illustration of a flanking maneuver.
Oh, and, Anakin had that nice moment of, that a girl, Ahsoka. A proud daddy.
Yeah, well, he set up all his dominoes, and he just had to... And It was like he got to relax because there was nothing he could do. He's just done his thing. It's just time to sit back and enjoy his handiwork, which, you know, it would have been hellish if it all went wrong. Because he
and he was just like, no.
Nothing he could have done. He would have been sitting there in his escape pod, powerless as he watched his friends get destroyed.
Yeah.
But that's not how it worked out. So I love ramming two ships together, so that was good. And I liked seeing the Nemoidian communication circle thing that they used back in episode one, because it has a different look than the usual holo talk thing. It's more photograph. It's more like a webcam almost, but it's like a crystal ball webcam. I love it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man.
But otherwise, I think Anakin's, I want to say a jerk, but it's more like, I think it's kind of evil manipulating a 14-year-old girl into being a warrior, you know?
And I agree, but at the same time, this is also a war.
Yeah, well, I mean, it gets into the same, ethics of the clones and stuff like that, but it's just like... Jeez, when you sit and think, at first you're like, oh, this is cool. It's showing Anakin how to have Ahsoka trust in herself. And it is. Trust in herself and be confident and, take her licks, but keep moving and stuff like that. But then you start, the more you think about it, you're like, it's a 14-year-old kid. And she got traumatized by having, making decisions that got people killed. And, she probably should have been done right there. Mercifully, but it was, he's forced into it and she's forced into, you got some people killed. You got to go right back out there and get some more people killed.
I think it's interesting how they raise the Padawans too. Right now I'm reading two different Star Wars things. One is a novel that's not in the canon anymore, but it's called Wild Space,
uh-huh.
And it's about the beginning of the Clone Wars. It literally takes place the night after Geonosis, and they're bringing dead Jedi back from Geonosis, and they're trying to figure everything out. And in Wild Space, Obi-Wan has to, Yoda tells Obi-Wan that Anakin is clearly, there's something going on with him and Padme, so Obi-Wan needs to go to Padme and tell them to shut it down. Obi-Wan has this moment where he's thinking and talking with Padme that, unlike other Padawans who were taken as babies, Anakin actually remembers his mother. He actually remembers that time with her, he remembers his mom, and that's why he struggles so much with it, unlike other Padawans who were taken as babies and were raised in the temple, and they don't remember their moms. And then, from another thing that I've been reading about, Padawans and stuff, there's a great webcomic I've been reading called Star Wars Destinies, and I can talk about it now, because now you know what happens in Season 5. It takes place after Season 5, when Ahsoka leaves the Order, and she goes to Kamino to bust Slick from a few episodes back, and Dogma from Episode 4 out of jail, because she felt like she failed the Order, and she just wanted to save somebody from this war. And so she busts them out of Kamino jail, and the three of them are on the run. And she's kind of the leader of them, but Slick, he hates Jedi, so he's waiting for the time to shoot Ahsoka in the back. But Dogma's let's all be friends, guys. But there's a great moment in the new current arc where they wrote in that Ahsoka has a brother and a little sister. And this brother has been searching for Ahsoka, and he actually went to the temple, and Anakin turned him away and was like, no, Ahsoka has a better life now. You need to forget about her. She's dead to you. And the brother's like, no. And then when he realized his little sister, this new little girl, is force sensitive, he steals her away so the Jedi can't take her like they took Ahsoka, and he's been on the run too. And in the arc that's currently going on, he's found Ahsoka, and like she's finally remembering that, yes, she does have a family. She did have a brother. She completely forgot about it because her Jedi training had brainwashed her to forget about her family. And she like barely remembers her brother as a child. And it's been like, it's so interesting, like these two different things I'm reading.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's the first I've heard anybody talking about a EU Clone Wars novel.
Yeah, I read, what was it? I have it somewhere. I read one, it's the one about the Altusian Jedis, because I know I've talked about them on the book before, and now I'm reading Wild Space. Oh man, though, Palpatine is so creepy in it. Like, Palpatine, right after Geonosis, like, calls Yoda and Bail Organa into his office, and he's just like, I'm a terrible chancellor. And they're like, no, Palpatine, you've done everything you can. He's like, why can the Republic not believe in me? And Yoda's like, no, like, you've literally did everything you've done. It's just the Civil War is breaking out. And he goes, I know, so I can count on the Jedi, right?
Uh-huh.
And Yoda's just like, yeah. I guess. And it shows how like Palpatine just like forces the Jedi into this war. It's a really like creepy moment. So yeah, but that kind of goes on like just these Padawans just being thrown into all this and probably being damaged for life or dying.
Yep.
So
traumatized.
Yeah, one thing I don't like about this episode is the fact that like nobody supports Ahsoka until Yularen or Skywalker supports her. And I know this is kind of, like, really hypocritical because I've been saying, like, for several episodes, I want to know how the clones think about Padawans leaving missions. At the same time, it reads they won't trust her until someone above her gives her the okay. I don't know. It was just, like, this really weird moment that they were just like, yeah, we don't like this mission. And the moment Yularen walks in, they're like, yeah, this mission's great.
Yeah, but I'll bet you they change your tune after this episode. You know,
that's true.
So I mean, we're seeing sort of the process of her. I mean, if you're 14 years old, you probably have to gain respect if you're gonna, they're not just gonna go, oh, she's in command, you know.
Yeah, and then several episodes back, we talked about like how Rex saved Anakin like on his tank and his hair flying in the wind. And at the end of this episode, Rex shuttles out to save his Jedi boyfriend. So once again, take a drink. Rex saved Anakin and. It was beautiful. He was just like, hey, Rex. He's just like, hey, Commander, I'm here to pick you up. He's like, oh, then let's go and have a drink, and we'll have dinner, Rex. It'll be great. So did you have anything else for this third act?
No, that was pretty much it. I love when, you know, the Commander leaves and you see droids at their own devices, like we were talking about earlier. I love just that it turns into basically chickens with their heads cut off, you know. And one droid that's like, oh, I'm in the commander seat. Attack! You know? And that's it. You know, that's as complicated as it's going to get. It's going to be attack and retreat, and that's about.
Now, I know next episode we get, like, the super smart, like, commando droids, or whatever they're called. It's, like, the super, super smart droids, and it's their first debut in... Well, no, it's not their first debut. They were in
the
Blue Shadow Virus episodes.
No, they were also in the episode, one of your favorites, Rookies.
No, I'm talking about the smart, like, tactical droids. I didn't mean to say commando, the tactical droids.
Oh, okay, okay.
I know we get the tactical droid next one, but in the Blue Shadow Virus episode, they just, like, had cut off its head and got information. I think this will be
the first
time that we'll see him actually leading.
I like his voice.
The, like, monotone, just
yes.
burr, this is attack, it is Obi-Wan Kenobi, he is known for these tactics. But, oh man, I'm so excited for next week's episode, Chris, you don't even know. Like, I will tell you now, next week will be my highest rating of season one.
Ooh.
And that's because, to me, Innocence of Ryloth is, like, the quintessential episode of Star Wars. It's the best written episode of season one.
You're skewing my opinion of it.
Oh, it's such a good episode. And it leads into Rebels. That character of Numa is back in Rebels as she's an adult. Did you see the one where Hera's dad yet?
Yes.
That green Twi'lek with Hera's dad, that's Numa from next week's episode, the little girl.
Oh, okay.
That's her. That's why she has the little Tuca doll on her jacket, because that's the Tuca doll that Waxer and Boy will give her.
Totally, I don't remember.
Yeah, so next week, keep in mind when you're watching it, that's Numa from the episode with Hera's dad.
I'll probably actually be watching it tonight or tomorrow night, so.
There you go, man, there you go. Well, what are your final thoughts about this episode?
Anakin's a jerk. Shout out to jerks. I really liked it.
Necessary jerk.
I really liked it. It's a good solid. It would be a good entry point episode. You know, one first viewer. It's just got sort of all the elements of it. Doesn't have all the characters, but they never do. But it's got all the elements of it where it's kind of a tactical battle show. But this one has a lot of character and emotional development in it too, so it's just a very well balanced episode. And in being well balanced, you know, it's not up in the stratosphere, so giving it a good solid 7.
That's a good one for me. I like that this is an emotional based episode, especially for a kid show. You know, this is a lot for a kid show.
Yeah, how often do you start tackling PTSD in a kid show?
In this time period when Clone Wars was airing, not a lot. Now in current television shows, yes, for current kid shows, but not during this time that this was airing. We got to see Ahsoka go through growing pains of both being a leader and a Jedi. And I like, while it's not the Jedi way, Obi-Wan and Anakin both allow her time to process. Like, that's like, you know, if this was Luminara, she'd be like, suck it up, Padawan, let's go. But Obi-Wan and Anakin, what I like about them is they both give her time just to, like, deal with these feelings, process them. And while it might not be the most action-packed episode, and we really didn't need the separatist scenes, it's a really nice character-building episode. So I gave it a 15.5 out of 20, which is about a 7.5, so... Chris?
Oh, I'm sorry. I was muted. I don't know why I was muted. Yeah, so 7. Yeah, we're right in the same wheelhouse there of scores.
Well, as always, if you guys want to rate and review us on iTunes, that'd be fantastic. We'll read your review on the show, and it'll also help people find our shows. So if you like us, we want to hear from you. I know, like, I had someone write at me on Facebook the other day, and you're like, this is my favorite Star Wars podcast. And I'm like, that's really nice. You should tell us why on iTunes. I didn't say it on Facebook, but I was thinking it in the back of my head. I was like, then why haven't you reviewed us yet? Tell people why you like us. Especially us, so we can know what we're doing right or wrong. And if you don't like us, we want to hear from you too. If you think we're just like the worst, trashiest, like Captain Phasma trash shoot podcast and out there, let us know. We'd love to hear it.
Captain Phasma's trashy? What was that? Was that you or was that me?
Oh, that was me.
Okay, good.
Sure, I got another text from work.
Oh, thank God. I was just like, I don't need my computer making noises, new noises.
Oh, no, sorry. It was a text from work. Anyway, so where can people find you, Chris?
You can find me at 2TrueFreaks.com. Ahem.
Yeah, hey, Yoda, what's up?
Jeez. Where we have all our podcasts. We just added a new podcast recently.
Another one? What is it?
Well, I may have brought it up before, but I'm just bringing up our most recent edition, which was the Bots, Bugs, and Babes.
Yeah. It's
put together by... Jason Giaconetti, Luke Giaconetti's brother. We're getting a whole family thing. The Giaconetti father shows up on that podcast. So it's we've gotten Luke's wife and daughter also, and his kids and voices showing up in the show. So it's a whole family affair with them Giaconetti boys. It's very amusing. I love when families get involved with podcasts. But and we've got a few new ideas coming down the pike too for shows. I've been discussing with some people. There's going to be a little mini series coming up that is on not a timely topic, but a very popular topic.
What?
So there's a lot of fun stuff going on. But in the meantime, we hit about every nerd bit of interest that you could think of in our 30 some podcasts.
You got me interested. What's the topic?
Or
can you not say it?
A certain TV series that only ran one magnificent season and had a movie.
Oh, okay. I got it.
Yeah.
I followed along, so I got this. I wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
I don't like to say too much in case all of a sudden, you know, the people who are doing it, like, their job gets hard or something, and it comes out next year.
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
I'm good now because we've got a good, like, 10-week lag in the shows or so. So hopefully it might even be out by the time you hear this.
And I know for me, I was telling my coworker about long play.
I just did a very fun long play for Led Zeppelin with Trentus Magnus and Bob Fischer.
Yeah, that's why my coworker is just like a music guy. He loves all sorts of music and stuff like that. So I was like, if you ever have an album, and he told me about this like one album, and he was like, I would love to review that with somebody. I was like, I can get you in touch with people. So.
Yeah, that would be great. Yeah.
So, all right, well, you can find me at What the Fangirl, where I write reviews and all sorts of fun things. I'm also at geekygirlexperience.com. And then you can follow me on Twitter at Hope Molinax, and follow us on, both of us on Twitter, but mostly me, at JGuysAndJedi. Well, I don't have anything else, Chris, do you?
No, I went and checked my Twitter account today, and I was on there for a whole 30 seconds before I was like, I gotta go away.
That's okay. I've been running our Twitter, so yeah. But I don't have anything else, do you?
No, I got nothing. Nothing.
Nothing. Nothing. Well, until next time, I'm so excited for next week. Oh my gosh. Numa! We're gonna get Numa back and wax her and boil on his fancy mustache. Oh man, I have so many things to talk about Waxer and Boyle. Like, there's actually an official like character guide where it's like, Waxer is super serious about what he does, and Boyle makes fun of his mustache when they're not on missions. It's from like one of the kids' guides.
I'm gonna call out to the listeners to give us some clone nicknames. I think we should have a good collection of clone nicknames like Body Spray, Otter Goiter. Wet nap.
Yeah, I kind of like want to wait till I see like their personalities. So if there's like one that like, you know, doesn't really have a personality, be like, your name is Jugger.
Right, but if some listeners send us in some names, we might get some that just fit perfectly. It's like, that's it. That guy's Snickers bar. That guy's Snickers. Just Snickers. That's.
I like the one that you had the other day, like Jiffy Lube. If there's a really sad one, I'm totally like kind of emo one. I'm gonna totally name him Hot Topic.
See, I like stuff like Jiffy Lube because it just makes people wonder how that name was earned.
Yeah, well, actually, have like in the Camino arc, 99s, and he's like, I've always named all of you guys. You've always been those names, and I'm like, oh, 99. Well, I don't have anything else, so I guess until next time, we'll have Numa!
Yeah, we got a story arc coming up.
I'm so excited. Then we'll have Windu, so I guess we'll see you next week. Bye!
Bye-bye.
If you shop at Amazon.com, please consider using the link at twotruefreaks.com to shop there. If you use this link to go to Amazon and then you shop, Two True Freaks gets a little cut of what you buy, and it doesn't cost you anything extra. So you get to shop as usual and help out the Two True Freaks at the same time.
Visit our website at twotruefreaks.com. Two True Freaks is always spelled T-W-O. TRUEFREAKS.
You can email Two True Freaks directly at twotruefreaks@gmail.com.
Two True Freaks and all of its excellent affiliates are available on iTunes, and you can choose to subscribe to either the entire network if you wish, or pick whichever individual shows you want to follow. We have so many shows to choose from, there's just bound to be one that appeals to your particular fandom. Just search Two True Freaks with an exclamation mark at the end, space, and the number 2.
You can find Two True Freaks on Facebook. Just search for Two True Freaks.
Dumbass.
If you ever leave your house and you actually have friends, why don't you tell them about Two True Freaks?
If you've enjoyed our show, please, won't you take a moment to rate us on iTunes? That helps others find the show too.
Thanks for listening.
And join us every Monday for new episodes of
Two True Freaks.
We were finally invited aboard one of these spacecraft, which landed near Ann Arbor, Michigan on October the 24th of 1954. This is a drawing of the craft. As I was leaving the craft, the commander, Soltek, said, "Soon others of your people will be able to have an experience similar to this."